This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:44. Very, very good morning to you. And joining us this morning for the Israel Report is Jonathan Feldstein. Jonathan is the president at Genesis 123 Foundation. Good morning. How are you?
Howard, good morning. It's been a long time.
Yeah, way too long. I'm good, thank you. Although it's, I was saying a little bit earlier, it's been a very emotional week with this hostage deal. We almost can't process it because obviously, you know, there's so many aspects to it. Give us your thoughts.
I agree with you being an emotional week on steroids. Mm-hmm. Look, the processing is, I think, relatively simple. It's just a question of where you side on it. The hardest part is the, I think, the trauma that exists and is going to continue to be inflicted. But you're either for making such a deal, which is being referred to as a hostage deal, but technically it's a ceasefire, and you're going to do almost anything possible in order to get as many hostages released as possible, even things that are more than distasteful but incomprehensible, or you can't justify those incomprehensible things and feel that it's virtually treasonous. And there are a lot of reasons from what I'm reading and hearing that there are many, many, many flaws in the deal. It doesn't seem to achieve the goals of the beginning of the war, which was to bring home all the hostages, to eliminate Hamas, and to make Gaza never a threat for Israel again. And those are big problems. The question is, how much are you willing to sacrifice? And then the other question is, what on the sidelines, if anything, has the Trump administration promised in order for making this deal now that might compensate for Israel's, for the threats that Israel will face in other security matters, which may not be public yet, may or may not have happened, certainly are not public yet, and may indeed be a compensation.
The fact that it is it's a ceasefire and it's not the end, it isn't really the end of the war, or is it? Is it being perceived as such?
No, there's no look. The only end to the war, I can certainly make the case for all kinds of accommodations in order to actually get to peace. But what October 7th made very, very clear, and since then, is that there is no peace, there is no actual long-term solution without a resounding crushing of our enemies. And that has to start in Iran, because Hamas still has, let's just play this forward. Hamas still has tremendous influence. And you can pay, I'm sure you can still pay an Egyptian soldier on this on the Egyptian side of the Gaza border to still smuggle in things, and they'll find ways. Mm-hmm. And if Iran is funding that, Hamas will continue to be a threat. But if the Iranian threat and the Islamic regime there are indeed eliminated, then the sources of funding for Hamas will by and large be eliminated, unless Turkey decides to step in to a nefarious place that it's not yet gone. No, Howard, there's no peace. This is at best a ceasefire, and at best a ceasefire that creates terms that are very dangerous for Israel.
When we see photos and we see the celebration in Gaza, Hamas, and whomever claiming victory. I found it, obviously, we all do, we found it very, very perplexing. And one of the questions I was putting to our listeners earlier is, when I look at something from a strategy perspective in business, I'll always ask whoever I'm working with, consulting with, what does success look like for you? Because I might have an idea of what success looks like, and they might have a very different one. And if I'm assisting in achieving a goal, then I need to understand that we're on the same page in terms of success. Is it possible that from Hamas's perspective, they actually have been victorious? And if they have, what then does success look like for Hamas?
Well, I think the answer is yes, that from Hamas's perspective, they slaughtered 1,200 of us, they kidnapped 251, they have been exacting unbelievable trauma against almost all Israelis for, what are we at, 468 days, 469 days now, and they are still standing. They are still, if this, as the ceasefire begins, and if Israel is going to withdraw, the only actual force in Gaza that has any control is, in fact, Hamas. So they're still standing. And from that perspective, they are victorious, and they are celebrating that. They certainly don't care about the well-being of the average Palestinian Arab in Gaza.
Mm-mm,
so they're celebrating, they're even indirectly celebrating the death of civilians as that has created yet another
black eye. Yes, because that gave them,
that's
currency.
That's their entire currency is terror and trauma, and they do it through brutalizing their people and blaming us for brutalizing their people and for holding captives. You know, Hamas, until all 98 remaining hostages are released, Hamas still has a card to play, traumatizing one person. You know, you follow current events and news here more than most.
Mm.
But one of the things that's become an adjective in the news here is talking about the Ron Arads, the Air Force navigator officer who was shot down over Lebanon in 1986, and from whom there were many signs of life over the decades, but is missing. But just nobody knows where he is, and it's what are we 40 years that this man is missing, and Israel has not yet been able to find him alive or repatriate his body. How many of these people will continue to? How many more Ron Arads will there be? And for each of them, you have the family of that person, and ongoing trauma, and that trauma is multiplied. Because if Hamas remains in control, if the Houthis can continue to fire rockets, if next week or the week after, when the ceasefire with Hezbollah expires and they start, we're back in the same place. Nothing will have changed.
It's really, really just so frightening. Does that mean that we are actually going to? It's unlikely that we will ever see the return of the full 98.
I'm pessimistic on that, and I hate that pessimism. I desperately want that everyone should be released, dead or alive, brought home for burial, repatriated to their countries, because not all of them are Israeli. But it's truly hard for me to imagine that we will ever see all 98 hostages or hostages' bodies, and that Hamas will continue to use that, or its successors, if in fact we can eliminate Hamas, will continue to use that to exact as much trauma as possible for as long as possible to as many people as possible.
Very, very frightening, and of course a whole weekend now of of anticipation, of mixed emotions, a very, very difficult time indeed. Speaking about difficult, of course, the untimely and shocking death of Olga Meshwe, who is a very, very dear friend, certainly on a personal level, to the community, to Israel, to so many of us, came as a complete shock, certainly to me. I remained in disbelief around it. But you have been involved with her memorial burial. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, fitting Olga's greatness, and I'm just emotional talking about it. It's really hard. In an unprecedented level involving the president's office, Olga's being buried here in Israel January 22nd near Haifa. And I've been involved with making arrangements. We've set up two links for people to donate so the family can focus on their grief and not on paying the bills. And the bills are extraordinary. It's it's quite a lot of money to do all of this. But for those of us who have been involved, my goodness, it's the last thing we can do to truly send her off in a way that suits her greatness. So many people have been involved. So many people have donated. So many arrangements still yet to be need to be made, and all we can do is comfort ourselves. I hosted a webinar. People can find it on the Genesis 123 Foundation YouTube channel. It's gotten a lot of views, also reflecting how many people Olga touched and loved her. Comfort her family, and somehow try to reflect her greatness. But as our mutual friend Rolene Marks said in that conversation multiple times, she's simply irreplaceable. I think that any of us who involved are very humbled by the fact that there's really no way, with everything that we're doing, the sum of everything that we're doing, there's no true way that we can truly acknowledge this woman and what she did in her very short life.
Absolutely incredible.
And imagine what she could have done.
What led to the decision of her being buried in Israel? Because I didn't think that was going to happen. I don't know if that was the initial plan immediately following her passing.
I don't believe it was the initial plan. I'm not involved in that conversation, but what I've extrapolated is that initially she was supposed to have been buried, I believe, in South Africa. Mm. And I understand that her husband, Joshua, who's just also an amazing man and who we just can't send enough condolences to, and their two beautiful young sons, just had this feeling that she needed to be buried here. And Olga's very good friend, someone who I've now become good friends with and am very impressed by, Emily Winkler, moved heaven and earth to make this possible. And Emily won't take the credit. Emily says this is Olga's legacy continuing to do miracles. But I do believe this is unprecedented. It's not uncommon for diaspora Jews to be buried here in Israel. We moved Theodor Herzl's remains, and others have been reinterred here. I don't know that there's a precedent for burying a non-Jew, or much less a Christian, but my goodness, what I've said is that she's being buried in the land in which she loved and among the people in which she loved. And she could have done anything with her life. She truly could have. But she chose to be like Ruth.
Absolutely.
And put her life with the Jewish people.
Yeah.
So as Ruth, when she says, where you go, I will go, and where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried, there's really nothing more suitable.
Absolutely. You know, Olga, just the one thing I will that for me is says everything about Olga, is that she stood up when others wouldn't, and she certainly came into my world and my consciousness when she stood up at a Jewish community function when we were feeling extremely vulnerable, and I looked at this, I thought, who is this young, powerful, brilliant woman? And then we connected. We had our first coffee at Tasha's, and have remained friends. And we just remained friends ever since. But my overwhelming feeling is she stood up for us when others sat down or others stayed down. And I think it is just absolutely incredible and fitting and right that she is being honored in Israel, being buried in Israel, because, you know, when you see, I didn't realize, in fact, the breadth of her influence and her network, because she didn't come across in that way. She came across as so just humble, normal.
Yes.
But when you actually see the number of people that she connected with, it's hard to imagine that anybody could have such an influence in such a short time. It's just phenomenal.
She was a superhero. She was simply a superhero. That modesty that you would never imagine. The last time I saw her, she came to my hotel with Joshua and their boys for Shabbat. When I was in North Carolina, and what I took away from that was just normal, average, incredibly loving mother, but that was just the norm. But then she also loved Israel and the Jewish people, and devoted herself more than most,
absolutely,
far more than most. Something that we could only imagine that any non-Jew or Christian specifically would commit his or her life to.
Absolutely.
So we hope to be able to reflect that. People can contact me. I'm happy
to share. Yes, I was just going to say, will you? Is the link on the Genesis website?
It's not, but let me send it to you and you can post it.
We'll post that, exactly.
And people can contact me, because the funeral will be live streamed on YouTube.
Right. So if you could send that to me, we'll share it on, share it for people. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.